From the Danker Studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, an exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. Today on the program, we have a conversation with Salt Lake Tribune editor and publisher Terry Orme. Orme took the helm after editor Nancy Conway and publisher William Dean Singleton stepped down, and after a nearly 20% staff reduction. We speak to Orme about the changes at the Trib, including the path forward.
Every business needs to make money, I'll say that. And certainly Salt Lake Tribune needs to make money. But if we're going to sit in our newsroom and make decisions based on what quote-unquote sells, that's probably not the best place for us to be. I'd say it's definitely not the best place for us to be.
That conversation and the day's headlines, including a look at the federal government shutdown, just ahead on The Rundown here on KCPW. And welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. A little bit later in the program, we're going to turn to a discussion with Terry Orme, the new publisher and editor of the Salt Lake Tribune. But first, we have these headlines. The U.S. government was partially shut down on Tuesday for the first time in 17 years. The shutdown means that up to a million federal workers are on unpaid leave. Earlier today, I spoke with Utah Senator Orrin Hatch and State Democratic Party Chair Jim DeBacchus to hear about how this happened and to try to get a sense of what comes next. At midnight on Tuesday, the United States government went into something akin to reserve energy mode as the GOP-controlled House held to its position that the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare, should be amended or its implementation delayed. Social Security checks will continue to arrive, and military workers will still get paid, but much of what the government does, from veterans' services to national parks to the Department of Agriculture, is grinding to a halt because the money to pay employees won't be there. Predictably, both sides blame each other. Here's Senator Orrin Hatch in an interview with KCPW earlier today.
The fact is that Senate Democrats failed to, take common sense action to fund the government and change Obamacare to protect the American people. I think it's an absolute disgrace what they've done. And then they refuse to negotiate. I mean, Reid will not negotiate. The House sends a bill over, and he immediately tables the bill so that you can't have any discussion about it. You can't talk about it on the floor. The president has not weighed in. He doesn't do a doggone thing about trying to bring both sides together.
Speaking as chair of the Democratic Party in Utah, State Senator Jim DeBacchus countered that the debate over health care reform was already over.
You know what? They don't like Obamacare. We get it. There's things about it I don't like. But when President Obama ran the first time, he said, I'm going to do this for health care. And then we had congressional elections. And then Mitt Romney said, I will do away with it. And President Obama said, I won't. We have a decision. It's gone through the Supreme Court. It's gone through both houses of Congress. The president signed it. We have a law. That's the way the system works.
Both Hatch and DeBacchus decried the politics that led to this outcome, DeBacchus focusing his attention on Senator Mike Lee, who has ardently pushed to defund Obamacare.
Mike Lee is like a big crybaby that didn't get his way, and he's going to hold the whole country hostage. Let's get over this. Let's solve the problems of the country.
While Senator Hatch reserved his ire for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
But the Democrats are now missing in action. They won't even sit down and talk. Senator Reid tables every bill that comes from the House. These are the type of things that I think the American people are going to ultimately say, my gosh, we can't stand that.
Late Monday night, members of the House appointed negotiators to a House-Senate conference committee with the hope of agreeing on a continuing resolution to fund the government. But Democrats say there's nothing to negotiate, and Republicans are sticking to their guns as well, saying what they call a bad law must be fixed. The attention is now turning to Speaker of the House John Boehner. Boehner has prevented a vote on a so-called clean continuing resolution to fund the government, one that leaves Obamacare untouched. In the end, the real question is, as the effects of the government shutdown are felt more broadly, which side will crack first? And add to that an ominous backdrop to the ongoing spectacle, the looming debate over whether to raise the national debt ceiling later this month. And in related news, the federal government shutdown has closed Utah's 5 national parks during a very busy season. It has also furloughed tens of thousands of federal employees and civilian defense contractors. Zion National Park is trying to empty its campgrounds, giving people 48 hours to leave. Park spokeswoman Alyssa Baltrus says foreign visitors are confused. The shutdown comes during a popular season for Utah's Red Rock parks, with summer heat dissipating. Governor Gary Herbert's office says 40,000 federal employees and civilian defense contractors in Utah have been furloughed, many from Hill Air Force Base. Commanders said the shutdown prevented them from even describing the impacts on Tuesday. And also related news, the individual exchange portion of the Affordable Care Act opened today, but glitches are making it frustrating for some who are anxious to sign up for insurance. KCPW reporter Kim Shusky has this story.
Barry Nakamura is looking for health insurance. He's currently on disability, but that runs out at the first of the next year.
I need my medications and all kinds of medications. I take about 3 or 4 medications a day because I also have an enlarged heart, high blood pressure, so that too. So
he came to the Sorenson Unity Center to get help navigating the system. Certified application counselor Jose Caceres says in order to apply through the exchange, Nakamura will need his name, address, date of birth, social security number, and income. Since Nakamura just got a new part-time job that starts next week, his income for next year is unknown.
So we'll probably go by your hourly wage. So you estimate how many hours you're going to be working and how much you get paid an hour. Okay. So that's how they're going to determine your income. And if that changes,
yeah, probably will.
Go back in, yeah.
Nakamura is not sure if he has enough information to apply for insurance on the exchange today, but would like to give it a try. That might be difficult, though. Jason Stevenson with the Utah Health Policy Project says there have been some problems for people trying to access the exchange.
There have been some hiccups here in Utah through the healthcare.gov website. People can initially log in, but the system kind of freezes up after a while, at least when I tried it a couple times this morning. We think those glitches are going to be fixed within the next couple hours or at least the next day or so, and things will be running smoothly again.
The other glitch in Utah is that most of the navigators, people that are trained and responsible for helping people get through the system and sign up for insurance, are not certified yet through the state. Stevenson says the regulations were just released last week.
There's some hoops we have to jump through based on some state laws that have been passed regarding insurance for the navigators, background check, certification, and that just takes time. You can't really do that in an afternoon. That's going to take a couple more days for us to get the navigators certified. Many of them have already been trained. They've already done the federal training. They're ready to go. They just need to get through the state certification.
Stevenson says he thinks it will take a couple of weeks for the glitches to get worked out, so most people in Utah will probably just do some window shopping to start out and come back later to actually sign up. The individual exchange can be accessed at healthcare.gov. Insurance coverage will not start until January 1st of next year. For KCPW, I'm Kim Shusky.
Friends say that a university biologist was not suicidal prior to her death, and that her ex-husband was increasingly angry at her. The testimony came during the beginning of a multi-day preliminary hearing to determine if there is enough evidence to send pediatrician John Wall to trial for the September 2011 murder of his ex-wife, Uta von Schwedler. The medical examiner ruled that she died from drowning, as well as a fatal amount of Xanax. Prosecutors charged Wall with murder in April. He has maintained his innocence. Family friend Klaus Fiebig said Wall was full of hate towards his ex-wife in January of 2011. He also said that von Schwedler seemed happy during that same visit. Von Schwedler's boyfriend, Nils Abramson, said she was an outgoing, happy woman. He said her only enemy was her ex-husband. And finally today, a man who was cleaning out a family member's empty home found what may have been a grenade in the garage. Police responded to the home on North Chaz Court about 4 p.m. Monday and summoned a hazardous device team. Salt Lake City Police Detective Cody Laugie tells the Deseret News that the item looked like an inactive training grenade, but officials wanted to be on the safe side. Officials say the bomb squad determined it was a mortar-type shell, likely from the World War II era, and that it was safe to transport. It was taken to a remote area for further evaluation. And that's our summary of today's top local headlines. I'm Roger McDonough, and you're listening to The Rundown. Stay tuned for a conversation with Terry Orme, the new editor and publisher of the Salt Lake Tribune. We'll be right back.